Amen.
All right. Thank you, Michael. How wonderful it is that the Lord really does know our name.
Amen.
Don't say amen again. Amen. Well, I guess everybody knows here that today is Father's Day. And for all you ladies out there, happy Father's Day. I'll share that with you. And I know on Mother's Day, we passed out carnations. But on Father's Day, we have something a little bit different. I have my treasure. So each dad will get Reese's peanut butter cup. So be sure to come up here and get it, because if you don't get it, it will go to a worthy cause. I'll let you know that, all right? But seriously, I want to thank God for the men that God has sent here to ECBC. We have some dynamic men, and I'm very, very thankful for the Lord. You know, our world needs godly men. Our wives need godly men.
Amen.
Our children, our church, our community all need godly men who will step up and live moral and honest lives that are based on scriptural principles. And the result of following those principles will be a renewal of our own lives, of our families, of our churches, of our community. Folks, it's got to start with us.
Amen.
And that's the way it's built. So if you're a father here today, or even a grandfather, but that makes you a father anyway. If you're a father here, would you stand? All right. Father, we're so thankful and grateful for these men who have given their hearts and their lives to you. I just pray that you bless them, bless their families, guide them, and we're just so thankful for them. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, men. Now, we are in the last chapter in the book of Philippians, so if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Last week, we looked at the first seven verses, and in it, we had seven commands. Verse 1 says, stand firm. Verse 2 says, live in harmony. Verse 3 says, listen, there's a couple of ladies that are at odds with one another. Live in harmony. Verse 4, he says, rejoice. Verse 5, be gentle. Verse 6, he says, don't worry, be happy. I've heard a song about that. Don't worry, be happy. Okay. And then verse 6, he talks about prayer, how we need to pray. And now in these two verses that Fitz read this morning, verses 8 and 9, we have two commands as well. In verse 8, it says, think on these things. Verse 9 says, do or practice these things. So verse 8 is about our thoughts, and verse 9 is about our actions. Now, we've already read that, so I'm not going to have to read it again. You guys have heard Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, haven't you?
Yes.
Not yet. Okay, good. So it's to think right and to do right are the keys to keep our character and our testimony from being destroyed. Folks, we are responsible for our thoughts. We may not be able to control the thoughts that pass through our minds, but we certainly control which ones we grab a hold of and remember to think and think and think on them. We live in a world that's constantly bombarding us with messages and images and worldviews which are not biblical.
Amen.
Not at all. So many people today are focusing on the negatives, not the positives. And that's sad. We should be the most positive people in the world as Christians. We should. Psalm 118:24, it hangs up in our kitchen. This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Paul reminds us that we need to constantly reject the things that don't draw us closer to God. And consciously focus on the things that do. Because we do have the ability to choose. So thinking about whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise should apply to every area of our life. Not just when you get to church. And it applies especially when we're evaluating our music, or our TV, or our movies, or our internet, or the books we read. I don't think this comes as a surprise to anybody. We live in an information age. We have more exposure to things that come into our minds than anyone who has ever lived. And all of this technology and all of this access to media screams for our attention. How easy it really is to spend time seeing pictures of adorable children, or updating all your friends on Facebook, or looking at adorable children sleeping in the most awkward positions. You ever seen that one? Seeing pictures, old pictures of the Beatles. Now, you youngins, that's not a bug. I mean, that's a singing group back in the 60s. All right? You know, there's another thing, and it's called clickbait. Y'all know what clickbait is? All right. You see a video with a headline that says, "You'll never guess what happens next." And then you're supposed to click. Or, "This will make your day." Or, "Listen to this man's graduation speech. His sixth sentence will surprise you." You know, and they want you to click on that because when that happens, boy, have they got you. They do. They really do. Never before, but you know, there's some good things about the internet. Don't let me give you the idea that everything's bad about the internet. It's good. It really is, when it's used properly. There are some good things. We have the ability now to connect with other people so easily. I mean, for us, for instance, at Emmitsburg, we send out mass mailings all the time for prayer requests. And right now, we're live streaming people who are not here. People who are not here that should be here can see us, and that's exciting stuff. I'm just very thankful for that. No longer do we need to ask anybody how to get anyplace, right? We have Google Maps. We have Waze. How many of you use Waze? You all need Waze. You really do, because it is a game changer. Because what it does is it will tell you there's lot roadkill 400 feet away. There's police 800 feet away. I love that one. You know, there's police 800. Slow down. All these things. And if there's a backup, it'll give you a different way to go so that you can get around. It's just, stuff is amazing. But you know what? There's a danger in all of that media. Because sometimes our minds get so distracted by everything around us, we fail to really focus on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely, of good report and excellent and praise. We forget about those things. Now, let me again clarify. That doesn't mean that everything we watch or read or listen to must be Christian in nature. I'm not saying that. But it does mean we should reject those thoughts and those ideas that we know are wrong. I mean, if you see something, you know it's wrong, don't keep watching it. Turn it off. Right? Because if we really took these verses seriously, our media consumption habits would drastically change. Paul says we're to fill our minds with beauty. We're to fill our minds with truth. Now, he's not telling you what not to think about. He's telling you what to fill your minds with. And what he's telling us is, these are positives. And the best way to accomplish it, anything that comes into your life, is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it a good report? Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? That means all that we read, all that we see, all that we use should be positive. It should be uplifting. It should be able to, for us to be able to direct it to the Lord. Because when we fill our minds with other things, that's terrible. It really is. Folks, we're called out of darkness into light. We've put off the old nature. We're supposed to put on the new nature, right? And the reason Christians struggle to experience the fullness of the newness of Christ is because we don't put on that new life. So many times we hear, "Don't do that, reject that." But what we ought to hear is, "Fill your mind, be gentle, be loving." That's the kind of things we need to hear. We hear a lot, don't gossip. How many times have you heard that? Don't gossip. You shouldn't gossip. What we need to hear is speak well of other people.
Amen.
Right? And Paul's summary is a positive one. It's very positive. Think on the positive things. That's verse 8. Think on the positive things. And he's showing them, and he's showing us, how to experience the fullness of the presence of God, who is the God of peace. Now, these verses are not promoting positive self-talk. There are those who would take these verses and use them for positive self-talk. You know what that is, don't you? How beautiful you are, how smart you are, how successful you are. You ever heard somebody tell you about that? I mean, I don't have to think those things because it is what it is. All right? And the more good things you say about yourself, the more you're going to believe it. And the more you believe it, the more it will come true. And that's the mindset. But folks, our minds can't create reality. I don't care that I think I want to be 6 feet 4 inches tall. Reality says I'm never going to make it this side of heaven. I'm just not. And we don't need the kind of teaching that appeals to those kinds of thoughts. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. So these verses are about thinking biblically. In fact, every one of the characteristics mentioned in verse 8 are true of the Word of God. In fact, what Paul is saying is, think according to God's Word. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your mind, for everything you do flows from it. Somebody has well said, you are what you think. You may not be what you think you are, but what you think you are. How well is that true? That's very true. Paul lists 8 qualities, all which represent good things. And after he lists that group, those 8, he says, think on them. Those are the things we ought to continually think about. So I'm going to just real quickly go through each one of these. First one is true. Folks, everything about God is true. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Everything else that's not false is true. You say, that's kind of stupid. No, that's true. It really is. In John 17:17, Jesus said the Word of God is the only truth in the world. And in chapter 16, he said the Holy Spirit that lives in us guides us into all truth. Now, that Greek word carries the idea of being genuine or free from error. We should avoid feeding ourselves with things that are deceptive and that are false. Now let me wander off for a little bit here. What we've been hearing here lately is a doctrine, a terrible thing, but anyway, it's with us. It's called CRT.
Oh me.
Yes, oh me. Critical race theory. And it basically says skin color is everything. Racism is everywhere. And if you're white, you are an oppressor, and you will oppress all minorities. Now that's what that doctrine says. And folks, that statement in itself is racist. And we need to reject it out of hand. We've got to be committed to finding and thinking on God's truth, so we can take it to heart and let it guide our lives. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We are all one in the Lord.
Amen.
If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, it says God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's another story for another time.
Yes, it is.
But it doesn't say he created the white person to be superior. He didn't say he created the Asian person to be subordinate. He said he created us all. God loves us all.
Amen.
And anyone who would tell you that we need to split this up and we need to pit one another against one another is pure Marxism. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, that's where we're going. That is exactly where we're going. So we need to think on the things that are true. We also should think on things that are honorable. That speaks of everything that's worthy of respect. And then think on things that are right. That's a legal term. It means fair, just, righteous words, righteous deeds. We need to listen and watch, or we're going to be in big trouble. We need to weigh the worth of our messages, what we hear, and the actions that we see. And then it says it's pure. It describes one free from defilement. It speaks of clean. It speaks of wholesome. It speaks of good. And then he uses the term lovely, which is only used here. And it describes things that are kind and gracious and pleasant and enjoyable. Do you get the theme here, what's going on? What he's trying to get across to us? Then good report. Those are things good to hear, things that are worthy of praise. Excellence, he says. That describes anything of moral goodness. It's virtue. It's nobility. Things that characterize the best in us. Self-sacrifice. Heroism. Things that are worthy of praise. Worthy of recognition. Things that we can stand up and applaud. Things that build our character so we become more like the Lord Jesus. Think on these things. That's the way we ought to think. Let these positive things be guides on our thoughts and direct our motives. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, we are to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Everything that we think or do, we need to filter through the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he meets every one of those qualifications, doesn't he? He's pure. He's true. John 14:6. He said, I am the way. I'm truth. I am truth. He's honorable. There was never anyone who was worthy of more respect than the Lord Jesus. He was also just. Paul said in Acts 17, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through Jesus, whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Folks, Jesus is going to judge the world. And his judgment will be completely just. Just. Not only that, he's pure. No one of us has ever lived without sinning. The Lord Jesus has. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus always had pure thoughts. He always had pure motives. Not only that, he was lovely. He was lovely in all that he did. You could see it in the tender way he would touch lepers, the way he gently dealt with the woman who was taken in adultery, the way he ultimately was so patient with his disciples who were so thick-headed all the way through Jesus' life. Of course, he had a good report. I mean, crowds would come to listen to him. They heard him gladly. So if there was any excellence, it was found in Jesus. If there was anything worthy of praise, it was found in the Lord Jesus. So he's to be praised for his compassion, for his wisdom, for his grace and his mercy and his love. He's to be praised for his sacrifice for sinners, dying for us to bring us to God. Paul said, think about those things. And then he goes on in verse 9 to say, whatever you have learned, whatever you have received, whatever you have heard, whatever you have seen, do. And that word means practice these things. Practice. You know, there's an old saying, practice makes perfect, right? So practice what we learn. Practice what we receive. Practice what we hear. Practice what we see. And notice the little words he says, in me, in me. Paul brings attention to himself. In fact, what he's saying is, do as I do. Do as I do. Now, he's speaking as a pastor, as a spiritual leader. Paul knows that people are going to follow the example of their spiritual leaders far more than they'll follow their teachings. And that's a scary thought, folks. That really is. But that's why the character qualities are given as a requirement for spiritual leaders. In 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, it talks about all the different qualities for people who are leaders. So whether you're a pastor or an elder or a teacher or you lead a group or you're responsible for some ministry, we are examples by our life.
Amen.
And in the integrity of Paul's life, he says, "Do as I do." To the church at Corinth, he put it this way, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now I can hear you. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. I'm not a teacher. I don't lead a group. I'm not responsible for some ministry. I just come here on Sunday mornings and listen to the sermon and sing some songs, and then we go home and eat lunch. That, you know, I'm not any of those things. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Every parent, every grandparent is a spiritual leader. Even if these children are out of your home, or you only see them occasionally, you're still leading them spiritually by what you say and what you do. Now, I know there are lots of parents that will tell their children, "Do as I say, not as I do." All right? And you know what the children will do? What they see them do, right? So you want to train your child in the way of the Lord? Then walk in the way of the Lord. You want to teach them to rejoice in the gospel? Then rejoice in the gospel. You want to teach them to grumble and complain? Grumble and complain. You want to teach your children to be humble? Then have them model the Lord Jesus, and you model the Lord Jesus in His humility before them. Verse 9 says, "Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, do. Put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So what had the Philippians learned? Well, they learned to conduct themselves worthy of the gospel, to have a humble attitude like the Lord Jesus, to always rejoice in the Lord, to follow Paul's example as he follows Christ. And here in these two verses, he calls on them and he calls on us to think about his teachings and then put them into practice. And when you do that, Paul said, the God of peace will be with you. Now understand, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and God's word is hidden in our hearts. But you know what? There are going to be times when we don't really sense the God of peace in our lives. I know I don't at times. And I have to get on my knees before the Lord and just keep knocking on the door. Our circumstances can make us temporarily lose the sense of the God of peace who is with us. Folks, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the God of peace will never leave us. He called us. He regenerated us. He granted us repentance and faith. He justified us. Now I'm in Romans 8:28, which is He justified us. He sanctified us. He continues to keep us apart. He's the God of love. He's the God of joy. He's the God of peace. You know what? He knows the end from the beginning. And He will not allow anything in our lives that will cause harm. He always has our backs. And He will bring His peace, a peace that passes all understanding, with Him. He walks with us. He will guide us. And He'll give us His peace. Isaiah said, "God will keep in perfect peace all who trust in Him, all whose thoughts are fixed on Him." So, think on the good. Practice the right. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for Your goodness. We thank You for all these commands that we have. Scripturally, we understand them. I just pray that in our hearts and our minds that we would accept and then do what You have commanded us to do. We're so grateful for Your love, the Lord Jesus, who came and died for us that we could have eternal life when we confess our sins to Him and ask for that forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts today. If there's anyone here that has something that they need to deal with, now's the time, Lord. We just pray that you would guide us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As Michael plays for us, if the Lord speaks to your heart this morning, you come as we sing, "The Savior is Waiting."